Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Welcome. It's nice to have you with us. Who's here for the first time today? Amen. Is that your friend? Oh, I'm so happy to see you. Who else? Anybody else? Yeah, for the first time? Well, bless God. Before we start, I want you to just get up and give the people around you a hug. Welcome them and into the house of God. Amen. The Bible says we are therefore now truly accepted in the Beloved. Well, bless God. You know, how many of you know that God is good?
Amen.
How many of you can testify that somewhere in this week you experienced the power of God in some way? Just wave at me, wave at me. Let's give the Lord a big hand, please. Amen. I'm busy with a series on prayer, but I'm going to take a bit of a detour today because of something that happened earlier today. We started a bit later because we had an experience that I needed to sort out. And that brings me to, I want to actually talk about these things because I know it's often misunderstood. I know a lot of people do not understand it. And you know what? It's a reality. Yes, I want to talk about how the devil works sometimes. You know why? Because he's real and he messes in people's lives. How many of you have figured out by now that the devil is real? Just wave at me. Now, here's the thing. We serve who? We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. When you are born in this world, are you born into the kingdom of God or are you born somewhere else? What would be general pattern? Where are you born? He came here today with his crew cut hairstyle and these like Ray-Bans, and I thought to myself, oh, he looks like some general from somewhere. Probably you being promoted. You never know. Probably God already promoted you. Here's the thing. Nobody is born into the kingdom of God. You are born into the kingdom of darkness. Whether you like it or not, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that if the gospel of Jesus Christ is hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds that they cannot understand the glory of the gospel of Christ. Okay, so who's the God of this world? Well, Jesus is not the God of this world. He's God. And by the grace of God, he's God of my life, he's God of your life, he's God of your life, and I really hope that he's God of your life, because they say you can live without Jesus, but you better not die without Jesus. Hello? Now here's the thing. None of us are born in the kingdom of God. We are born in the kingdom of Satan. When we come down to this earth, we come down for a purpose. There's a purpose for everybody's life. You have a purpose, you have a purpose, you have a purpose. You have a destiny, you have a destiny. You have a destiny. We all have a destiny. But we're never going to find out what that is until we do not be reunited with God. Because it is only in Christ that we will discover who we truly are. And in order to discover who you truly are in Christ, you have to meet with Christ. Christ has to enter you. Now, there's somebody that doesn't want that to happen. There's somebody that cannot afford for that to happen. I want you to just dwell on this. The Apostle Paul, at one stage, A man that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. A man that had revelation that still today freaks people out. Half the people can't understand his writings. Even Peter said, well, Paul, your writings are so complicated, I don't even understand them. It doesn't mean that it's not like he doesn't understand them. It's just the spiritual input, the spiritual power thereof was so deep that without the Holy Spirit, you can't figure out what's going on there. This same man at one stage was one of Satan's best attributes at stopping the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we know that the Apostle Paul in his own words says that he was a good Pharisee, and that he spent his life, his commitment, his dedication was to eradicate Jesus and his followers, and that he stood by while they were murdered. But that was never his destiny. That was the deception of Satan in his life. He wasn't living the truth. He was living a lie. And he could not understand that he was living a lie until he wasn't empowered by the Holy Spirit and met Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what happened. The Apostle Paul was busy being in his mind a good Pharisee. He was being in his mind a good servant of God, because that's how the devil confused him. And while he was on his way to Damascus, he was sitting on his donkey and he was traveling towards Damascus, and there appeared a great light in front of him. In fact, the light was so great that he was blinded. For 3 days he could not see. And out of this light a voice spoke. In other words, what I want you to understand is, until he wasn't enlightened, he also couldn't see. And until he wasn't enlightened, he didn't understand that he was blind. The light spoke to him, Jesus spoke to him, and he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul answered, who are you, Lord? Jesus said, I am he, Jesus, the one that you are persecuting. Saul believed that he was fulfilling his destiny. He wasn't. He was living a lie. He was committed to living that lie, but he was still living a lie. And when he met Jesus, for the first time, he began to understand that what he believed until that time was wrong. And his life began to change. Now, who was he really serving? Let's ask that question. Was he really serving God, or was he serving Satan? Well, you know what? If you spend your life trying to eradicate the church, trying to kill the church, you cannot be serving God. And if you think you're serving God, then you have been deceived by the enemy. And the Bible says in the last days, Satan will work very hard to deceive even the very elect. In other words, there's people out there thinking they're doing stuff right, but they're not necessarily doing it right. They're doing it wrong because they're working against God instead of with God. Satan does not want the gospel of Jesus Christ to reach the ears of mankind. Because the thing that is going to change your life the most is when the gospel of Jesus enters you and you receive it. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And you know what? I know that some of us, we have some demons that we need to be delivered of and we need to be set free of, and you feel a lot better when this demon comes out of your life. But the fact is, the number one thing that we need to be delivered of is the kingdom of darkness. Because we are born in darkness and we have to cross over into light to become a child of God. But a lot of people in darkness can't see the need to cross over because they've been veiled, because they've been deceived. And this is where it sets the scene for the war between good and evil. For the war between Christ and Satan. And I want to tell you something. You know, there's a lot of people that have this thing, oh, but that war was way back when Jesus walked the earth and the first apostles started walking the earth. It was necessary to fight this war, but it's not necessary now. I beg to differ. It's just as necessary today as it was 2,000 years ago. Because if Satan did not want the gospel to reach the ends of the earth 2,000 years ago, he hasn't changed his mind. He still feels exactly the same way. He will still work at stopping the work of the gospel. The Apostle Paul, the same man that he used to control until he met Jesus, went from being the church's biggest enemy to being the church's greatest friend. Amen. Because Paul was the first apostle that went out and spoke the word of God to the Gentiles. Okay, Peter was the first one that encountered them, but Paul was the man called by God to preach to them. For a time, for a limited time, Satan managed to deceive Paul. But yes, the grace of God. Even though Paul did things, I'm sure God was hurt. I'm sure the Holy Spirit wasn't happy when Paul stood by and had people murdered and killed and, you know, whatever he did to them when he was persecuting the church. But the grace of God, God knew that this man is going to work for me one day. And there's going to come a time when I will open his eyes and I will allow him to see things the way that they truly are. And he will realize that he's been blind all of these years and that he's been deceived. And he will become one of the greatest attributes that the New Testament church has ever had. And you know, the Apostle Paul had amazing experiences. He talks about having died and gone to heaven, and he saw the third heaven and he saw the throne of God. He's speaking about the experiences that he had. He had amazing experiences. But until he did not understand that he was not living his destiny, he was living a lie, he also couldn't get to that place. You know what? The Bible speaks of the mysteries of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You know what, Georgie, there's a lot of mystery locked up inside of you. But when God looks at you, God sees it. It's for us to get to the place that we begin to see what God sees. You know, when we looked at Paul in his previous life, we would have said, oh, yeah, what a loser. You know, this he's so deceived. Probably he's destined for hell because look at what he's doing. God never saw that. God saw an evangelist. God saw a preacher. God saw a man of God that would bring healing, that would bring restoration, that would glorify God through his teachings. And God needed to get him to that place. Now, getting back to the devil knew that about Paul. He knew something about this man. He might not know the future, but he's not stupid. You must understand something. The Bible says Satan is full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He's full of wisdom. He's not stupid. He can see when there's something about you that's different. He can see when there's this light around you. It might not have entered you, but it's there. And he will work very hard to push you far away. You know, this world is full of people that are very far away from God right now, but their destiny is very great in God if they can just get to that place. Now, that is enough for the enemy to declare war. You want to know how Satan feels about the church? Look at what Paul did. He tried to destroy the church. Does Satan still want to destroy the church? Satan still wants to destroy the church. How does he do that? He uses people. He can use all sorts of stuff, but let's get back down to the nitty-gritty of how the stuff works. Even though he uses people, what he uses to influence people is called what? Demons. Demons are real, whether you like it or not. Evil spirits are real. Curses are real. Witchcraft, sorcery, all these things are relevant. And all these things are real. And you and I, we are in the middle of a war. The Bible says, for our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Our warfare is not. Listen carefully. That scripture doesn't say we do not war. Because that's how a lot of Christians like to take the Bible. We do not war. I don't have to fight. I don't have to do nothing. Jesus did it on the cross. No, he conquered Satan on his behalf so that you can stand up in that power and conquer Satan on your behalf. The devil doesn't get conquered until you don't put your foot down and say, enough is enough. I will not tolerate this nonsense. It's time for you to go. The devil doesn't flee from just anybody. He flees from those who resist him. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But that takes something from us. It takes from us to get to the place that we say, you know what? I will not accept this nonsense anymore. I will not be a victim of this rubbish anymore. I don't have to, because through Christ, I have the authority, I have the power to rise up, and this rubbish must get under my feet. Does the devil still mess with people today? Look at your neighbor and say, whether you like it or not, you're a threat. And maybe you should see that in the positive sense. This is not a negative word. This is a positive word. Because if Satan sees you as a threat, that means that he does not control you anymore. Because this is just the thing about the devil. The devil doesn't mess with his people. He messes with God's people. Because just like Paul, you are a threat. just like Peter, you are a threat. When the Spirit of God lives in you and you begin to discover your destiny and you begin to discover the mysteries of God that is locked up inside of you, suddenly you begin to stand out like a sore thumb. And the spiritual realm takes notice of your life. And they will work very hard to make you despondent, to make you feel dejected, to make you feel frustrated, to make you feel dismal, to make you feel hopeless. Why? Because when you feel all of these things, you don't want to preach the gospel. You don't want to talk about the grace of God. You don't feel like going to church. You feel negative. You feel angry. You feel frustrated. But what's really going on is there is a war going on in your life, and the enemy doesn't want you to reach the lost. Because in the end, this is what it's about. It's about finding God and fulfilling your destiny. And let me tell you something about us. Every one of us shares a common destiny. Our destiny is to reach the lost. How many disciples of Jesus have I got in this room? Okay, there's a couple of people here that are not saved. I'm going to have to pray for you before you leave. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, then the calling on your life is go out and preach the gospel. Lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. Cast out demons and preach the good news. That doesn't mean that you are an evangelist that has to stand on a stage in front of 1,000 people. That means in your workplace, you should have a godly influence. That means in your family, you should have a godly influence. That means when the pawpaw hits the fan in your friendship circle and they don't know what to do anymore, and they are at that place of, they are in the pit of despair, you are the one they should turn to and say, listen, yeah, I see something different about your life. You know, I didn't like the fact that you got converted to Christ because, you know what, you changed, but now I'm in the dwang and I need help, and you're the only one that seems to have something to offer. How do I do this? How do I sort out my life? Suddenly you're an evangelist because you have the opportunity to speak to that individual about Jesus Christ. You know, the one that works everything, that puts everything together, is God. All He wants is for us to be available. You know, people misunderstand evangelism. Evangelism is not going up in dark Africa, having a 4x4 vehicle and going from little city to city. It's part of evangelism. But here's what Jesus said. He said, go out from Jerusalem to Judea, from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. You start evangelizing in Jerusalem where you are. It's no use we all up in Africa evangelizing and the whole of Gauteng is burning in hell. That's not going to help nobody. Probably your neighbor needs to get saved a lot more than the poor oak up in Africa. Now everybody needs to be saved, but the guy next door, his soul is just as important as some oak up in Africa. And God wants to use you and me to reach the guy next door. Okay? So from that point of view, we are all evangelists. Now and then, God will put you in a situation where the opportunity will present itself for you to drop that little truth. And you know what? Sometimes that's going to change that person's life. So are you a threat to the devil? Yes, you are. Why? Because there is light inside of you. Satan is called the Prince of Darkness. Raise your hands if you serve the Prince of Darkness. At least you're all listening to my sermon. You know, every now and then I have somebody just, like, they just hear that, like, raise your hands, like, eh. Oops. Oops. Yeah. Or when I ask a question and they were sleeping, it's like, huh? Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't serve the Prince of Darkness, then there's light inside of you. And you know, the amazing thing about light, light always expels darkness. Darkness never expels light. You can't flip a switch that makes everything dark. You flip that switch and it makes everything light. Darkness is simply the absence of light. But when light moves into a place, darkness has to run. That makes you dangerous. And whether you like it or not, the devil doesn't like you. It's got nothing to do with your face. Praise God. It's got nothing to do with your body odor. Praise God. It's got nothing to do with your size of jean that you wear. Praise God. I want to tell you something. There is no criteria on looks to get into the kingdom of God. It's got to do with your heart, that's all. Whether you're tall or short, by the grace of God, Portuguese people, they can all get saved. Afrikaans people, they can all be saved. Hey, that's what it's about. It's got nothing to do with your ethnicity. It's got nothing to do with your culture. What God wants is fire. What the devil doesn't want is fire. The devil will do everything to quench your fire. And the Bible warns us, quench not the Spirit of God. So we should protect the fire that is inside of us. But now here's what I'm trying to get at. The devil is not going to leave you alone. But I don't want you to fall apart because of it, because he doesn't leave me alone either. In fact, he doesn't leave nobody alone. He's always busy. But God is busy too. And in Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, through the fire of the living God, God will cause you to rise up and conquer whatever is coming against your life. And God will give you victory. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, I am doomed to victory. And I don't mean that in a bad way. If you understand what I'm saying, it means you will have victory. Do you know why? Because God is for you, not against you. He's called you to be the head and not the tail. You are the top and not the bottom. Amen? And no matter how hard the devil works against you, I want to promise you, he will frustrate you. He will make you feel down and discouraged and disheartened now and then. Because it's not nice to go through the rubbish that he sometimes puts us through. But in Christ, you can conquer anything. In Christ, you can rise above any situation. In Christ, you will be victorious because God works with you. Amen. You know, when Jesus was just about to leave, Mark chapter 16 from verse 15 to verse 20, he appears to the disciples for the final time. He appeared to them a couple of times after he was resurrected. And when he was appearing to them the last time, he was about to be taken up into the clouds. This is what he said to them. He said to them, go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. Cast out demons. And the Bible says, and the disciples went out and the Lord worked with them. Did you hear that? And the Lord worked with them. You're not working alone. You're not working alone. You're not working alone. I want to tell you something. There is somebody working with us that understands every problem in your life, that has a solution to every situation that you might ever encounter, that has enough wisdom to endow you when you speak to just about to anybody about whatever, to touch the hearts of the lost. Do you know who's working with you? Can I tell you who's working with you? The healer is working with you. The redeemer is working with you. The deliverer is working with you. And the savior is working with you. You want to be an evangelist in the New Testament? That's who's working with you. That's his credentials. He conquered sin. He conquered sickness. He conquered Satan. He conquered every devil, every demon, every curse. He conquered all witchcraft. He conquered all sorcery. He conquered all voodoo. He conquered black magic. He conquered white magic. He conquered Satanism. I don't care what you bring. He conquered it. Therefore, you're going to conquer it too. Amen. Therefore, everything's going to be okay. Is the devil real? Yes, the devil is real. Should we fall apart because of that? No, we shouldn't. Not if we understand what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God tells us that God will give us victory, but the Word of God still expects us to do our part. It's no use you tell me, but Jesus conquered the devil so many years ago on the cross, therefore, no. How's that working for you? The devil's still busy. But when you understand what the devil is doing and you put your foot down, then the devil has to run. God will give you victory. And I know that the devil has been working very hard to discourage a lot of us. You know, sometimes you feel like, I just don't want to get out of bed. I don't see the need. You know what, I'm trying this and I'm trying this and this is not working and that is not working. I feel despondent. I feel dejected. I am in despair. I feel hopeless. That's the devil. But you know, there's somebody else in your life too. And we must never forget that that somebody else is also working. Remember what I said, and the Lord worked with them. If Jesus worked with Peter, he's working with you. If Jesus worked with Paul, he's working with you. If Jesus worked with John, he's working with you. You're not alone. And maybe he's just waiting for you to just dust yourself off, pick yourself up, say, enough is enough. I will not stand for this nonsense. I will not tolerate this rubbish. And God will give you victory. Satan touches everybody. Can I tell you why he touches people? Because he knows how we operate. When we go through a disappointment, we go down. When something gets stolen from us, we go down. And then that voice comes and that voice says, ah, but you see, where was your God? He doesn't care about you. Ah, but you see, you're not good enough. He comes and he chitty-chitties with us because he wants you down in the pit. Sometimes circumstances trips you. But the Bible says that when a righteous man falls, in other words, when we get tripped, the Lord will pick you up yet seven times. Again, God works with you. There's a lot of people here that need to conquer something. You feel something is holding you back. You feel something is pulling you down. You feel that you're not getting that breakthrough. You feel that nothing is happening for you. I want to tell you something. Yes, the devil is busy, but so is God. And if you put your foot down and you say, no, but I will not stand for this nonsense, probably something is going to happen. Probably the power of God is going to be made manifest in your life. Does the devil want you to be successful? No, he doesn't. But so what? He's not in charge of your life. God is. And God wants you to be successful. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. But you know what? Sometimes you're going to have to put your foot down and say no to that thing that wants to pull you back. Sometimes we have to fight. Sometimes we have a spirit of fear that doesn't want us to go out there and put our life out there and find the opportunities. Sometimes we feel timid. Sometimes we feel shy. The devil influences us. And I want you to understand something. Maybe I should just say something about that. I'm not trying to say, yeah, that people are possessed by the devil. You cannot be possessed by the devil when you serve God. Because you can't belong to two masters. Jesus said so. You can't belong to God and Satan at the same time. You can belong to God or Satan, but you can't belong to both. So if you belong to God, you don't belong to Satan. Does that mean that Satan can't influence your life? No. That's what he does. He influences your life. Sometimes through your mind, sometimes through people. Sometimes through situations, sometimes through witchcraft or sorcery. All these things are real and all these things are relative. But when we put our foot down and we fight, we use the authority that God has given us, God will give us victory. Amen. When does the devil flee from you? Okay. Does the devil flee from you when you complain? In fact, he likes it. Does the devil flee from you when you throw tantrums? In fact, he encourages it. Does the devil flee from you when you grumble, you moan, you stop going to church? In fact, that's exactly what he's trying to do. He's trying to push you away from God. When does the devil flee from you? When you come to the place that you understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ includes fighting against the devil. Conquering the works of darkness. Listen here, Jesus came to show us the way. Jesus had to conquer the devil. You have to conquer the devil. You can be upset about it. You can complain about it. It won't change the fact that until you don't resist, nothing flees from you. You know, the Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It doesn't say that he will flee from the angels of God. It doesn't say that he will flee from the kingdom of God. It doesn't say that he will flee from God. It says he will flee from you. Therefore, the resisting needs to come from you. God will back you. Jesus will fight with you. But he will not fight for you. He will fight with you. And so we need to come to a place where we say enough is enough. We will not stand for this anymore. And we need to start fighting back. You know, sometimes you get pushed around by people, and what you need to do is just take your stand, stand your ground, and push back, and things begin to change. It's time for us to push back and say, no, I will not be intimidated. No, I will not be manipulated. No, I will not be walked over. In fact, the devil is your doormat. You are not his. The Bible says, I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the evil one, and nothing will by any means hurt you. That doesn't mean that the devil won't fight against you. It just says that the devil will not win the fight. You will win the fight. How long must we resist? I don't know. I don't know how big the chocho is in your life. I actually don't know. But the Bible says, when the enemy comes rushing in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Sometimes it feels like this flood is coming against you and you're losing your footing, and it's like it's going to take your whole life down a path of destruction. The Bible says when that happens, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You know, sometimes our life is in that place. It feels like, oh, I've lost all control. Everything is just bad. Everything is just a problem. Even then, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. Where's the standard going to come from? From you. But the Spirit of the Lord will begin to rise up within you and give you the power to conquer. Your circumstances will not conquer you. You know, sometimes in that flood, it feels like the flood has taken you, and yeah, you're going, and you're going towards that big dark abyss. The Bible says when that flood starts taking you and you cry out to God, God will raise up a standard in you. God will give you the power to stand. God will give you the power to conquer. Jesus will give you victory. The devil loves people that blame God, that get upset, that complain, because they're not doing what the Word of God says they must do. I'm sorry, but I did not write the Bible. God did. And His Word makes it very clear. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far greater weight of God's eternal glory. Even when affliction comes, God will turn it around and make it work for you. I know when we are going through it, it doesn't feel like it. But when our faith is in God and we understand His Word and we apply His principles, in the end, even when the devil is doing everything to destroy you, it'll turn around that he actually shot himself in the foot in the process. At worst, it's going to make you stronger. At worst, it'll make your faith grow. Amen. So here's the thing. I know everybody here in some way feels like you are in that river. And that river has taken you and you feel like there you have no control. It's like you're heading towards that abyss. You're trying. Nothing seems to work. Nothing seems to help. Here's what the Word of God says. When the enemy comes rushing in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him, which simply means God, even then, when you are convinced that you're going to go down and there's no way you can survive, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Today I was going to preach something else, and then based on what happened outside we were praying there as a group, and God allowed some things to happen. God spoke to my heart, and God says, no, today this is what you're going to talk about. Because Jesus is still in the business of setting the captives free. Amen. Jesus prophesied concerning himself, I have come to set the captives free. I have come to heal the brokenhearted. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news, to set the captives free. And to heal the brokenhearted. The Spirit of the Lord is here today. And as he worked in the life of Jesus, so he wants to work in your life today. He wants to set the captive free. He wants to heal the brokenhearted. And for those of you that is in that river and your mind has told you that it's finished, this thing has taken you, there's nothing that can be done. Listen here, God can even dry up the river for you. There are so many things that God can do to give you back what was taken from you. If the devil has robbed you of your joy, I want to tell you God's got plenty to give you. If the devil has robbed you of your self-esteem, I want to tell you something. God has plenty to give you. You know, sometimes we are like the Apostle Paul. We are living a lie. You know, the devil lies to us and he says to us, you are useless. He lies to us and he says to us, you will never amount to anything in life. He lies to us and he says to us, nobody likes you. You're always the odd one out. Why do you have to live a lie when the truth will set you free? Paul had an encounter with Christ. Through his encounter with Christ, the scales fell off his eyes and he began to see life differently. You know, Jesus appeared to him and Jesus set the captive free. Paul was held captive by a religious spirit. Paul was held captive by a spirit of destruction. Paul was held captive by, let's call it, a spirit of witchcraft. Paul was held captive by the spirit of the Antichrist because Paul spent his life working against Christ. I have encountered the spirit of the Antichrist many different times. And I want to tell you, he's not a nice thing. He's horrible. But in an encounter with Jesus, the Apostle Paul's life began to change. And I actually want to say something else about the Apostle Paul. Sometimes we have this idea that after his encounter, his ministry started immediately. No. You go read in the book of Galatians, he spent 3 years in the desert being prepared. The apostles ministered to him. Those that were already in Christ ministered to him. And I want to tell you something. He probably got delivered of a lot of demons and evil spirits while he spent those 3 years in the desert. Why? Because it was necessary. The light came to show him the truth. Now the process started for the truth to set him free. But because he accepted the light when it came, that process worked its course. And there came a day when God released him and said, go, the time is here. Go preach my word. I want to tell you something. The same Paul that used to be a friend of the devil was now a friend of God. The same Paul that gave power to the devil through what he did was now giving glory to God. And if today you and I are saved, we have to thank people like Paul that came before, that walked that road, even though it was difficult. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us how many trials and tribulations he had to go through. That he was left for dead 3 times. That he was shipwrecked how many times? That he was beaten how many times? That he had to go to sleep without food how many times? He didn't have an easy life. But today, we know what we know because of men like him that refuse to give up. And I want to say something else. Sometimes the devil uses your past against you and he says to you, but you know what? Because you did this and you did this and you did this, therefore God will not use you. I'm saying to you, rubbish. The Apostle Paul says he was the greatest sinner. I don't think you should argue with a man like him. Probably he knows a couple of things you don't know. Have you ever persecuted the church? Murdered innocent people? No, I don't think so. So probably in his eyes he was worse off than you. But he did not allow his past to be the stumbling block to stop him from having a brilliant future. He accepted the fact that his past was dealt with by the blood of Jesus Christ, and therefore he has the right to be a man of God and change people's lives. Probably the devil tried a couple of times. That's why the Apostle Paul understood the battle of the mind. I think the devil many times came and played with his mind. Who you think you are? Why you want to come and minister to people? You did this and this and this and this. Why you want to come and be all holy now when you persecuted Christ and you try to destroy his body? The Apostle Paul understood about that. Because the devil had a lot of place to come and attack him. But here's the thing about Paul. He did not let that bring him down. Paul is the man that says, resist the devil. No, actually, that was Peter. Paul tells us that the warfare is in the mind. Paul says, when the day of evil comes, stand your ground. Why do you think he writes these things? Because he lived it. The best way to teach is to teach from experience. Paul wrote a lot about how the devil operates. Why? Because he understood. Because many times the devil came and reminded him of his past. Many times the devil said to him, "How, but you're not worthy. Who do you think you are?" I don't think nothing of myself. I'm just trying to be humble. I'm trying to be obedient and I'm trying to reach the lost. And you know what happened? God honored him. You sitting here today because of him. You sitting here today because of him. Because he went out and started the movement that eventually went to the ends of the earth. I started off by saying the devil doesn't like you. Can I tell you why? Because of people like Paul, people like Peter, people like John, who once were normal people. And I don't mean that in a bad way, just they didn't know nothing. They met with Jesus. They discovered something about themselves, and they discovered something about their call, and they grabbed it with both hands. They were enabled by the Holy Spirit, and they started changing lives all over this world. And you know what? The devil looks at you and he thinks to himself, are you another Paul? Are you another Peter? Are you another John? I can't afford to wait to find out. So let me put pressure on you now to stop you from reaching your destiny. To stop you from understanding your purpose. That's what the devil does with a lot of people. When the enemy comes rushing in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Here's what I have in my heart. I want you to close your eyes. Just close your eyes for me, please. This is what God put on my heart today. There are many people in this room that feel like they are in that river, and that river has grasped them, and they are picking up speed, and there is this huge waterfall. We call it the pit or the abyss. And it's like in your whole being, you feel that you are powerless, and that you are being you've been grasped and you've been taken down this river, and your life is going to end down there in that abyss. You feel the hopelessness. You feel the despair. You feel the anguish, the frustration, and you feel there's nothing that you can do about it. Today the Lord wants to set you free. Today the Lord wants to take you out of that river and give you back your hope and give you back your joy and plant your feet upon the rock of ages and empower your life to make a difference. And He will make a difference in your life. Now I want to ask you something. While I was speaking about that word that God put in my heart, who of you felt that that word is speaking to you about your circumstances right now? Raise your hands high. Don't be afraid. Listen, don't worry about your neighbor. The word was for you. Then I want to say to everybody that raised your hands, please don't go home, because today is your day of salvation. And I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about being saved from that river. I know you're already saved. But God can save you from calamity. God can save you from disaster. God can save you from the plans of the wicked. I have good news for you. I have this bubbling in my heart, and I have this excitement in my spirit that today the power of God is going to explode in this place. And you know what? When the power of God explodes, the power of darkness implodes. Amen. Okay, so I didn't really preach a lot today, but I did preach. But today God gave me a word, a rhema word. God spoke something into my heart. And that's normally when the power of God moves. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand, please.